Yours might be on an electronic device like mine, or it might be leather bound. Wherever you are in your living room, maybe some of you are still lounging in your bed, but let's take those Bibles and let's say this together. They'll put the words up on the screen for you. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. It is the indestructible, incorruptible, everlasting, living word of God. I receive it now by faith, and I believe that my life will forever be changed. Now, we speak that every Sunday because we believe there is power in the word of God to change our life. And today, I want to begin a brand new series with you, as they just said. This is love, and we'll carry this series over the next 3 weeks as we celebrate Easter. But let's pray before we get into the message today that I'll be delivering, and that message is simply entitled, A Love That Forgives. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity that once again today we have to worship. And Lord, while our worship has been changed lately, the way we worship or where we are when we're worshiping, Lord, who we worship has not changed. And Lord, we worship you today. And Lord, your word has not changed. And so I thank you today that as I minister your word on forgiveness, that you will speak to every heart, Lord, that you will change lives. Today we simply pray that the word of God will prevail in each of our lives. And we pray today that people who need forgiveness will receive that gift from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we are celebrating Palm Sunday and the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And so go with me, if you will, to the account of this in the Gospel of Matthew. And I'm going to start reading from verse 6 of Matthew chapter 21. It says, "So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' So the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.'" Now, in this passage that we know is the triumphal entry of Jesus, Jesus is riding into Jerusalem for the final time. He's not coming back out. He's riding in to give his life as a sacrifice for us. He's fulfilling prophecy in the Old Testament. The prophet Zechariah said, "Your king will come to you riding on a donkey." He rides into Jerusalem, and then following this, it's often called the Holy Week, but it's also the Thursday. The following Thursday is called Holy Thursday. That's the day Jesus will be arrested. Good Friday is the day that he'll be crucified, but aren't you glad there is Sunday coming? And can I just say this to all of us today? We may be kind of at a Good Friday, or we may feel like we're being arrested, quarantined in our houses, but can I tell you, Sunday's coming, and you can have your own Sunday, your own little resurrection every day. Come on. But this is Jesus's triumphal entry, and he's making his first step toward death. Now, he came to the earth for this purpose. He literally came to earth to give his life for us. And today, you and I, we get to look back on Palm Sunday, and we look back on it and we see it so differently than those who were there that day. You know, those who put the palm branches down that day, they were worshiping him as king, but they thought he was there to set up an earthly kingdom and to deliver them from the oppression of Rome. They didn't realize who he was. In fact, in this passage, it says that those in the city ask, "Who is this?" On Palm Sunday today, we need to stop and recognize who Jesus is. and worship him for who he is. And let me just say this. He's the king. He's the king of all kings who gave his life so we could be forgiven. He's the king that's riding in on a donkey to sacrifice his life for us. On Palm Sunday, we need to take time to stop and to recognize what Palm Sunday means to us. We need to stop and recognize that it was love that caused him to ride into Jerusalem that day. It was you and I that he had in his heart and on his mind when he was riding in that day. Love motivated Jesus that day. We also see God's plan here being displayed. While those that day thought he was going to be an earthly king, we knew that God had greater plans for him. We see God's plan revealed in the significance of the things that were happening that day. For instance, the palm branch that they were throwing down, the palm branch was a sign of final victory. The donkey is symbolic of peace, the Prince of Peace. And the word Hosanna means save now. And little did they know that he was the King of all kings, coming in to win the final victory over sin so that they could have peace with God. He was going to save them. And can I remind you today that Jesus still saves? And he can save you from wherever you find yourself at today, whatever you're experiencing. He'll save you from sickness and disease. He'll save you from guilt and condemnation. He'll give you peace like you've never had before. Wow, can you tell him I'm just excited about who he is? I'm also excited about what he done for us. God sent his son to fight the ultimate and the final battle over death. Over death, hell, and the grave. Jesus was victorious. He won the final battle, and he won it for you, for me. He's about to win as he rides into Jerusalem. He's about to win that final victory over sin. And when he wins that final victory over sin, then you and I can be forgiven, and you and I can experience peace with God. John 15:13 says this, "There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends." Wow. Today we get to worship the one, and we get to remember the one that rode in that day to sacrifice his life for us. And the sacrificing of his life meant that we are forgiven. You see, this love that Jesus had, it's a love that forgives. Now I want to take you over to the Gospel of Luke now, and it's the account of the triumphal entry, but I want to take you to a particular scripture, something that Luke adds that Matthew doesn't add, but it's some words of Jesus, and Jesus says this as he approaches closer to Jerusalem. As he approaches Jerusalem, Luke 19 and verse 41, it says, "But as they came closer to Jerusalem and Jesus saw the city ahead, he began to weep. 'How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. But now it is too late and peace is hidden from your eyes.'" You know, while Jesus said to those people that day that it was too late, and what he meant by then, the same people that were throwing down branches and were singing Hosanna were the same people that were in a minute were going to holler, "Crucify him, crucify him." So much for friends. But Jesus was motivated by love. He was going to love them no matter what. He loves us no matter what. And he's saying there, "I wish they knew the way to peace." Well, you and I today, we need to remind ourselves, and we can know today the way to peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. That donkey that he rode in on symbolized peace. The Bible calls him the Prince of Peace. You see, because he brought forgiveness through the sacrifice of his life, then that forgiveness restored our relationship with God. Or you could say forgiveness brings us peace with God. And there is no greater thing in life than to be in relationship with God. There's nothing more wonderful than to experience the peace that is ours when we are forgiven and we are restored to relationship with God. Now let's take a closer look at the forgiveness that his love provides for us. Go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, actually verses 4 and 5. It says, Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned in order to rescue us from the evil world in which we live. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. You know, I just want to remind you that the word amen, simply means so be it. Listen, this is how it is. This is how it can be in your life today. Jesus loved us enough to give his life so we could be forgiven. God loved us enough to give his son. In fact, we could say this today, love gives and love forgives. Come on, love gives and love forgives. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. Listen, let's receive the love that Jesus is giving. Let's receive the forgiveness that he gives. His sacrifice made the way for us. I love that song. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. There is not one sin that Jesus didn't pay for. You've been rescued. You've been rescued. You've probably seen the stories online, or you've heard of them, where someone is maybe lost out at sea, their boat is capsized, and maybe they've been out there for a couple of days and all hope is lost. But I love those scenes when the Coast Guard helicopter comes riding in, and if you could, they get a close-up, as close as they can, of the person being rescued. Come on, can I remind you today that Jesus has rescued you, and he's rescued you from sin, from all wrongdoing. You may say, well, I don't know if I can believe God right now to bless me because I haven't been a blessing. It's not about you. It's about the Savior who rescues, and he's rescued us. Listen, you can't rescue yourself. None of us can. We need a Savior, and a Savior rescued us. I'm so glad that when he was on that donkey and he was riding in, that he didn't turn around and go back out. I'm so glad he went all the way. And why did he go all the way? Because love triumphs. Because he loved us. He wanted us to be forgiven. He wanted to rescue us. He wanted us to know what it's like to be in a relationship with God. And when we are in relationship with God, we feel secure in the midst of the storm. We feel safe in the midst of trouble. Come on, we are provided for in the midst of famine. We have a relationship with God because we are forgiven. Now, I want to take you to Ephesians, and I want us to look at this truth. And here's the truth. Forgiveness equals freedom. One of the most amazing things about forgiveness is what it does. When we're forgiven, then we're free. There is a freedom that belongs to us. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. It says, so we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. You see, along with forgiveness of our sins comes freedom. Sin binds. And you know, the one thing that sin does, and it's the biggest, how do I put this? It's the biggest harm that sin does. And that is, sin keeps us separated from the Father. You know, even those of us who have received the forgiveness of our sins and we've received Jesus as our Savior, when we sin, when we miss it, when we say something we shouldn't say, when we do something we shouldn't have done and we knew better, then sometimes we feel like we're separated, that God won't hear us. And really the truth is, He has already forgiven us of all of our sins. We are free from the weight of sin. Colossians 1:13, it says, "For He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins." You see, sin, any of our sins, can no longer keep us separated from God. You know, one of the things that we're facing right now is separation. I don't like being separated from people. But the good news is, not a one of your sins can keep you separated from God. The presence of God, the love of God, His blessings, His healing power, because the sacrifice of Christ was more than enough. He rode in that day. It was a triumphal entry because He went all the way for you, sacrificed His life as the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. So we're also free from the weight of sin. The weight that sin brings us is the guilt, the condemnation. Sometimes we don't feel like we're enough. Sin will keep us bound, and sin will tell us if we have a sin consciousness, I'll say. In other words, we're more aware of what we're doing wrong than what right Jesus did and what right we have in Him. If we do that, we're kind of bound in religion. And you see, religion teaches us that we need to be good enough, or religion teaches us that we need to try harder, while Jesus simply says you are forgiven. Receive the forgiveness. And I like to say this, because you're free, you can color outside the lines. Can you show that little scribble paper? Here's a little scribble paper. Now, isn't that cute? That's pretty cute. You know, look at all the beautiful color in there. And this is when someone knows that they're free in Christ. And I'm not saying that those scribbles on those colors represent your disobedience. I'm saying they represent the freedom that you have, that it's about the life that Christ has given you, full and rich and colorful. You don't have to dot every I and cross every T and be religious, but you can know that God is for you, and you can obey God because you love God. You don't obey God because you've got to earn His forgiveness. His forgiveness was freely given because it's a love that forgives. Listen, today, can I encourage you to live like you've been forgiven? To live loved? He loved you enough to offer His life for you. Isn't that enough to convince you that you are forgiven? Nothing is standing in between you and God. The chains of sin are broken. Whatever the sin, His love is a love that forgives all. You know, one of the things that sin does is sin makes us addicts. You know, sometimes when we think of being an addict, we think about a drug addict or someone who's addicted to some other substance. But how many of you know that we can be trapped in people-pleasing? We can be an addict to our insecurities. We can be addicted to approval, addicted to sports. We can be addicted to work. You see, sometimes we're addicted to things because we're searching for something. We're searching for some kind of peace or joy, and sin has us trapped. When really, if we just run to God, and we'd enjoy our relationship with God, if we'd live love and live forgiven, we would find that those addictions, even the ones that really bring harm in our life, such as drugs and alcohol, other addictions, worry. Some people right now are addicted to worry. Let Jesus set you free. It's not the way He wants you to live. Repent of your worrying. Say, God, I confess to You I've been a worry. I confess this fear I've been in. Forgive me and let me live in the freedom that belongs to me in God's presence. Sin wants to separate us from God. But love, the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the forgiveness that is ours through Christ wants to draw us near to God. Come on, let's draw near to God. Don't just draw near to Netflix. Just don't draw near to, you know, something else or complaining or social media. But let's spend a little time drawing near to God. Now let me remind you of this truth too. Love cancels our debt. You see, sin is like a debt. Colossians 2:13 says this, "You are dead because of your sins, because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross." Wow. You see, the cross is the picture of forgiveness. It's the canceling of our sins. Love forgives our sins and cancels our debt. Now, I don't know where you may be today, what debt you may be in, but all of us at one time or another have probably carried some debt. And if I were to tell you today that your mortgage, the debt that you have on your home, or maybe a credit card debt, or the debt you have on your car, if I were to tell you today that I was canceling all your debt, now I know some of you jumping for joy right now. I'm not doing this. Just an illustration. Now, come on. If I were to tell you that all your debts were canceled, what joy that would bring. Well, this morning I am telling you. I'm telling you that all your sin debts have been canceled. The cross has canceled them all. There's not one sin that the cross has not paid for, has not canceled. Now listen, here's what I want to encourage you to do. Stop paying for your sins. You say, well, Pastor Jane, how am I paying for my sins? With the guilt, with the condemnation, not thinking God's going to help you, be there for you, deliver you. You don't need to pay for your sins. Jesus paid it all. We used to have those stores, and in some ways, in some cases, that this still happens today, but there used to be a lot more stores that you would go in, and had a lot of merchandise, and you would go, and you would pay for your merchandise, and they would give you a number, a claim ticket. Then you would take that claim ticket, and you would go to someplace else, and you'd go to that desk, and then you would pick up your merchandise. Well, when you got up there to the window, if they said, you need to pay for this, what would you say? No, I already paid for it. I'm not paying. Here's my claim ticket. So why are you feeling guilty? Why are you feeling condemned? Jesus already paid for it. Now, you need to go get your claim ticket. You need to confess your sins. You need to receive the forgiveness. But listen, he canceled all of our debt. Let me read to you the definition, or am I going to do that later? Let me see when I'm going to do that. Let me give you the definition of the word condemnation. Because you see, when he forgave your sins and canceled your debt, he also canceled your condemnation. Condemnation means to separate, to pass judgment, to decide against. And when we sin, condemnation comes on us, but we need to immediately receive the forgiveness and cancel that condemnation out. I want to tell you a story because this is a beautiful illustration of how some of us live today, regardless of the fact that our debts have been canceled. This is a story about a little boy. You might have heard it before. But a little boy visiting his grandparents was given his first slingshot. He practiced in the woods, but he could never hit his target. As he came back to Grandma's backyard, he spied her duck. On an impulse, he took aim and let it fly. The stone hit, and the duck fell dead. The boy panicked. Desperately, he hid the duck in the backyard in the woodpile, only to look up and see his sister watching. Sally had seen it all, but she said nothing. After lunch that day, Grandma said, "Sally, let's wash the dishes." But Sally said, "Johnny told me he wanted to help you, Grandma." "Oh, okay, Johnny." Then later on that day, Sally went over to Johnny and whispered, "Remember the duck." So Johnny helped with the dishes. Later on that day, Grandpa asked if the children wanted to go fishing. Grandma said, "Well, I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help me with supper." Sally smiled and said, "That's all taken care of. Johnny wants to do it." Again, she whispered, "Remember the duck." Johnny stayed while Sally went fishing. After several days of Johnny doing both his chores and Sally's, finally he couldn't stand it. He confessed to Grandma that he had killed her duck. "I know, Johnny," she said, giving him a big hug. She said, "I was standing at the window and saw the whole thing. Because I love you, I forgave you. But I was wondering just how long you're going to let Sally make a slave out of you." How long are you going to let the enemy, the devil, hold that sin over you? Today is Palm Sunday. Today is the Sunday that we worship the King who gave his life for us, who loved us enough to sacrifice his life, so you and I could be forgiven. I love what David said. David talked about the joy. You see, I want you to experience the joy. Some of you need to have your joy restored. "Oh, the joy," David said, "of those who have been forgiven." Romans chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. It says, "Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin." All clear. Man, all clear. I'm not too good with the calculator. I don't like to add up numbers. That's not my thing. And so many times when I'm adding up numbers, I get them in there wrong. So then I hit clear, and then I keep adding, and it's wrong. Because you just can't hit clear. You got to hit all clear. Come on, some of you, you've just let God forgive you for some sins. Well, that's a little sin there. I just told a little white lie, so I believe God forgave me for that. But that? No. Can I tell you today, hit all clear. It's all clear. Every sin. Oh, the love. It is a love that forgives. The love of God. The love of Christ. And I pray right now that some of you would simply just release the guilt, release the condemnation, run to the Father's arms and experience the joy, because he hit, when he nailed Jesus to the cross, he hit all clear. Wow. Oh, the joy. You know, to me, it kind of reminds me of a newborn baby. I mean, isn't that why we like little babies? Is because it's like they've got a clean slate. They haven't done anything wrong. It's fresh life. That's how we can be in Jesus. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us for all sin." Wow. I want to go with you as we begin to wrap this up today. Or I want you to go with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. Verse 38. How do we receive this forgiveness? Whether we're receiving it for the first time and receiving Jesus as our Savior, or whether we're whether we're a disciple of Christ and we need forgiveness for something we've done. Here's what Peter says, Acts 2:38. Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to show that you have received forgiveness for your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God." You know, God is calling us to repentance. And the reason he's calling us to repentance is because he wants us to experience the joy. He wants us to experience the freedom from the weight of condemnation, guilt from the weight of our sin. He wants us to be free from worry. He wants us to know what it's like to live in the joy of his presence, to be secure in him, to have a relationship with God. Come on, there are relationships in your life that you feel like add such value. They're so important to you. And because you're in relationship with that person, it's like there's a certain level of safety. You know, my relationship with Jeff as my husband affords me certain things. Listen, today, the word repent just literally means turn around and go the other way. Just turn around and go the other way. Walk away from that sin. Walk away from that life of hopelessness. Walk away from the condemnation and look up to God and say, God, I receive your forgiveness. Wow. I love what Acts 3:19 says. It says, now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. Can I just say this today? Jesus is coming back. Man, what we're going through right now with this pandemic is certainly signs of end times. But it really, the Bible says we're not going to know when he comes. We can just read the signs, and we need to read the signs. But even if he doesn't come in your lifetime, you need to be aware that one day you're going to meet him. And why miss out on the joy? And here's what he promises. That if you'll turn, you'll turn to God, you'll turn to his word, you'll turn to his Savior, and you'll confess your sin. And really the biggest sin that all of us need to confess, the first sin, is that we didn't believe in Jesus, to simply receive Jesus as our Savior. And when we receive him, it says times of refreshing. When we receive his forgiveness, it says a time of refreshing will come from the Lord. In other words, the presence of the Lord, the Lord's presence will visit you in a tangible and a real way. Why? Because you simply repented. Because you simply received the forgiveness that Jesus so freely offers. I want to close with this passage, Acts 22 and verse 16. It says, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized. Have your sins washed away by calling on the name of the Lord. And can I just invite you today, whether you're a believer who just needs to call on the name of Jesus to receive forgiveness for something you've done, or more importantly, today, you might simply need to call on the name of Jesus to be saved. He is ready to forgive you. And why wait? Why wait any longer? Can I remind you of this? His is a love that forgives sins. Can I invite you to pray with me right now? Whether you need to ask the Lord to forgive you for a sin, or whether today you need to invite him into your heart, I want to encourage you to do that right now. I want you to make a decision wherever you are, just in your heart. Say, Lord, forgive me. If you're a believer today, simply ask Jesus, Jesus, forgive me, and just name whatever you need to be forgiven for. Whether it was a bad attitude, whether it was some other thing that you did that you knew you weren't supposed to do. Jesus, forgive me. But today, maybe today, you need to ask the Lord to forgive you and receive him as your Savior. And if that's you, I want to pray this prayer with you today. I want to invite you to pray this prayer. If today you say, Pastor Jane, I know the Lord, but I'm far away from him and I want to come back to him. Will you pray this with us today? My husband's going to join me here. And repeat this prayer along with him as I say this today. Will you receive Jesus? Let's make this call right now. Bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you today that you are ready to save. And right now, Lord, people are coming to you. And Lord, I've invited them to pray this prayer right now with me. And I thank you as they pray this prayer, they will be saved. Repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I ask you today. To be my Savior. To forgive me for sin. To come into my life. To rescue me. Thank you for sacrificing your life for me. I believe. That you are God's Son. That you died for my sins. And that you are risen. Be the Lord of my life.
I receive now.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, listen, if you prayed that prayer today, you are a part of the family of God. And whether you're coming back to Jesus or whether you're coming to Him for the first time, could you please email us at prayer@flctampa.org? Give us your name, your information, whatever you want to give us. We'd really like to just mail you some information, or if you just want to send us your email, we'd like to contact you in some way to help you with the decision that you've made today. We are so glad that all of you joined us to worship with us on this Palm Sunday. And listen, Sunday's coming, and I'm talking about Easter Sunday. And so we are ramping it up, and we are going to celebrate Easter with you. I encourage you right now to go out to, after this is over, go out to our Facebook page. We have an event, Easter Sunday at Faith Life Church. Sign up to come to that event. Let us know you'll be there. And then share that with your friends. Use that as an invite to invite people. Online church is so easy. So let's make this an Easter that is life-changing for people. And remember, beginning this week, I'll also be sending you the Easter devotionals. And next week, the title of the message is simply this: A Love That Conquers Death. God bless you, and we will see you Easter Sunday.